truth. When the struggle seems too great, Lord, keep our eyes on you. Lord, bless our home, protect our home. Let it be a refuge in this world of sin. Lord, reign within. Keep us strong and true. Lord, draw us close, committed to each other. Lord, bless our home, we give our homes to you. Strong and true, and when we need you most, Lord, draw us close, committed to each other. Lord, bless our homes, we give our homes to you.
Thank you for that, ladies. Let's stand this morning, if we could, and turn to Ezra chapter number 10. Ezra chapter number 10. I hope that you'll continue to invite your friends. We've picked up like probably 200 friends in the last week, so it's going real well, and I'm looking forward to a great, great, great day. And then next Sunday, something we've never done as part of our American Heroes, 100% Sunday. We're encouraging everybody to be in their Sunday school class next Sunday, okay? And so you say, well, I missed today. That's okay. It's next Sunday. So let's see what we can do to be there, and we'll have a great time. Ezra chapter number 10, we'll read the first 14 verses. Ezra chapter number 10. And then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children. For the people wept very sore. And she and Hananiah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have transgressed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. And yet there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God and put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord and of all those that tremble at the commandment of our God. And let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to his word, and they swear. And Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgressions of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity, that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem. And that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, and on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of the matter and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the transgress, the trespass of Israel. Now therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without, neither is it a work of 1 day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Pray in the few minutes that we have together that you would help us to get what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's a little bit later. I understand that. We have the baby dedication. So I'll talk fast, you listen fast, and it will be good. Nobody is, of course, we understand that nobody is perfect. All of us live, have a problem. Problem is sin. It is something we fight on a regular basis. I will say this, we can fight it victoriously if we stay close to Jesus Christ. But really, sometimes we all have slip-ups along the way. One of the things you'll notice as you read the Bible, many of the Bible characters, God tells us the good, he also tells us the bad. They were men just like we are, and ladies just as some of us are, and they sometimes sinned. So if we give in to our sinful flesh, then what are we supposed to do? Now, sometimes the things we do that are not right are maybe things that are smaller. Sin is sin. I understand that. But just, you know, something we did in the spur of the moment, we get upset about something, and we can quickly get past that and work our way through that with God. But sometimes we have major issues we have to deal with. Sometimes we do things that are wrong, or we get caught up in something, and it is something that has to be dealt with. How do we get over it? Maybe it's an action we've done, some spur-of-the-moment deal. Sometimes we get involved in things, and we do something that maybe violates the scripture because we were not careful. Maybe in some cases, worst-case scenario, we just flat-out choose to be disobedient. Sometimes we sin in our reactions. Anger is like that. It's amazing how people just turn on a dime and get upset about the most ridiculous things. You know, they talk about road rage. I was driving through a parking lot yesterday, and a guy was there, and he slowed down. A guy just honked at him, and he got out, and it was almost a good fight. I stuck around, but it didn't happen. But yeah, they were saying things to each other that I haven't heard since I was at my in-law's house. So, just over someone honking their horn. Sometimes we react the wrong way. Sometimes we have sins of what I would call continuation. We get caught up and we do something and we allow it to become a part of our life, and it's just a continual thing. But I have good news this morning. God wants us to get over that. And God doesn't just tell us how to get over it. The Bible is full of answers about how to get over the sin when we're tripped up. If you look at our text this morning, it's the story of Ezra. Ezra had been in exile, as had all of the Israelites, and Jerusalem was destroyed. And so now the time of their captivity is over, and people are being sent back to help fix things up. And one of the things he was sent back for was to encourage people and teach them the law of God and get the temple rebuilt. And so that is why he was there. After he had been there a few months, it is brought to his attention that some of the leaders and some of the people are transgressing God's law and disobeying him in a very major, major way. The thing that's specifically mentioned here is that they were intermarrying with the people of the land. That is something that was strictly forbidden for the Jews. You see, God wanted the Jews to be a pure people because they were the people for which they were the Messiah was to come. They were God's chosen people, and so he didn't want them intermarrying. And he also didn't want them intermarrying because if they would intermarry with the people of the land, they would ultimately start worshiping their false gods and their idols. And that's what always happens. If you look at King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, but what happened at the end of his life, because he married a bunch of the Bible calls them strange women, and here they're called the strange wives, and you say, hey, I have one of those. No, that's not what we're talking about, okay? And if you say that, you're going to be sleeping on the couch, cowboy. And if you think your wife's strange, you should look in the mirror, and you're going to see somebody just a little bit stranger. But so that's a big deal. And Solomon, at the end of his life, because of his wives, he started worshiping false gods. The one who God used to build the temple, and so it was a big deal. So how does Ezra handle it? In chapter 9, he goes to the Lord in prayer. And he prays and he confesses that this is wrong and that they're sinning and so forth. And now we come to chapter number 10, which we read. By the way, never underestimate the power of prayer. I think his prayer started this whole process that we're going to go through briefly this morning. There's a man as he comes to chapter 10 after his prayer named Shechaniah. He steps forward. I like what he says in verse 2. The people were kind of down about this. By the way, it was their sin that had caused them to go into captivity in the first place. And now they're just getting back in the land and they're already starting up to do the same things again. So it was a big deal. Well, he says in verse 2, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. By the way, let me say this, there's always hope. You know, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you have some sin in your life or something you feel like you just got caught up in and it's like, I really don't want to do it, but I feel like I'm just stuck. Let me just tell you something. There's hope. There's hope. It's just that a lot of times we don't step up and see what the Bible says to find how God helps us to get through these things. And by the way, he can. And so he gives them a plan. In this chapter, I see a 6-step plan how to deal with when we do wrong, when we sin. I want to help us with that this morning. Whether it's something small, whether it's something you feel, you know, we talk about the addiction ministry. It's an addiction ministry, but that's just because sin's addictive, okay? And sometimes we kind of calculate, well, you know, this is our you. That's for those who are addicted to drugs and alcohol and these other things. Well, we might be addicted to something else. We're hiding under the radar. It may be something small. It could be something big. Pornography is a stench. Could just be, you know, it could be just anger or attitude issues or you name it. But you know, you can get over it this morning. What's the 6-step process? Look at verse 10 of chapter number 10. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Step number 1, if we're going to get help, is we have to recognize. He gets up and just calls the roll. By the way, the people get it. He says, you have to understand that what you did is wrong. You've transgressed against God. They had to recognize that what they were doing was wrong, and they would, before they would ever be motivated to deal with it. And by the way, that's always the first step. If you're not willing to recognize when you're doing something which is wrong, if you're not willing to step up and say, you know what, in the eyes of God, this is wrong, then you're never going to get help. You're not going to get help. Well, you don't understand. I do this because this person made me do it. You're not going to get help. We think of Saul. We mentioned in our Sunday school class. We think of Saul. Saul, the king, after he lost the kingdom because he disobeyed God. And then he came before Samuel and he said, listen, you're right. I did wrong and all this. Here, just pray for me and sanctify me and let me worship with you in the sight of the people. And Samuel said, no. You know why? Because he wasn't really saying that because he thought it was wrong. He was just trying to save face in front of the people. And Samuel knew it and said, no. See, we have to understand and recognize that what we have done is wrong. We have to understand that we have a problem. And sin is a big problem. Sin is a life killer. Sin is a Christianity killer. You say, man, there was a time in my life I was closer to God and I just don't feel close to him right now. That is usually God's way of saying, what in your life has changed? What is there in your life that is displeasing to me, maybe, and keeping us from having that relationship that God really desires to have with us. We have to deal with it. Our society doesn't like that. By the way, our society is less and less friendly to Christians, particularly our media. Why? Because people don't just like to hear when what they're doing is wrong. And by the way, we're not being condemning. If we get up and say, this is what the Bible says, we're just telling what the Bible says. But in their eyes, that's condemning. Why? Because it's convicting when they find out from the Bible what God says is wrong, especially if they're going against it. But you know, too often as Christians, we're the same way. We just don't want to hear it. And we're never going to get over what we're struggling with unless we're willing to recognize that what we're doing is wrong. And then there's a second step in verse 11. Step number two is confess. Ezra tells him in verse 11, now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers. You see, confession is not the number one thing, because we'll never go confess to God if we don't think it's wrong in the first place, if we don't understand that we have a fraught problem in the first place. And by the way, God is always faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Aren't you glad for that? Because all of us sin. Aren't you glad we can go to God and say, I did this, and Lord, I am sorry, and I'm confessing to you that I did it, and I'm confessing to you that's wrong. He is faithful and just. 1 John 1:9. Not just to forgive us from our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, but why would I confess to God that it's wrong? Because we understand that God says it's wrong. That's where the delineation needs to be. That's where the line needs to be. It's wrong because God Almighty told me that it is wrong. I like what David said when David had sinned grievously in Psalm chapter 51 and verse 4. He says, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight. Now David had done evil to others. He had done evil to Bathsheba. He had done evil to her family. He had done evil to God's name. But really, the source of it all, it started because he did not listen to God. That's who he ultimately sinned against. That's David's. You know, I like Joseph's manner of confession. Joseph's confession is in Genesis 39, verse 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, David said his after he said sin. Joseph said his to avoid sin. That's always the best step. Maybe if we understood that what we're about to do in some instances is wrong because God says it's wrong, maybe we would think twice before we did it. Maybe that would be all it would take for us to say, you know, I don't care how my feelings are right now. I don't care the direction. I'm going to be careful because God says this. But we're talking about what happens when we do wrong. We've got to bring it to God immediately and agree with God that what we did is wrong and confess before him. No excuses. Not like Adam. Hey, Adam, what happened here? You sinned. Well, it was the woman, my wife. She caused me to do it. By the way, that was the woman that you gave me, right? I didn't have a choice. This was an arranged marriage. And you gave her to me. And God's like, we'll deal with you later. Eve went the spiritual route. The devil made me do it. Look, that's all going to be thrown out the window. When we come before God, we're saying, no excuses. I did this and this is wrong. So we recognize that we have done wrong. Step number two, we confess. Step number three, we obey. You say, I thought it was done. I recognize I've sinned. I recognize I've done wrong. And I confessed it, I'm forgiven, and I'm clean. That's like taking a pig out of the mud, cleaning that pig up, and saying, there you go. What's that pig going to do? Go right back to the mud. That's what pigs do. Okay? There has to be some type of change. Or else what's going to happen is we're going to go right back to where we were before. God says, I don't want to just forgive you. I'm going to cleanse you. And when God cleanses us, he wants us to stay clean. And so how are we going to avoid this so we don't have to go back? You, some people like, I'm just stuck in this same cycle. I do this and I feel horrible and I go right back and do it. That's because we need to get into God's word. We need to draw close to God and we need to do what he says. He says in step two, now therefore make confession to the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure. See, God doesn't want to just forgive us. He wants to restore us. You know, it's like you get an old car or something and it's all messed up and you like to restore it, bring it back to the way it was before. That's what God wants to do. And how's that going to happen? We get into his word and we start doing what he says. We push people to the word of God. Why? Because that's the only thing that's going to change you permanently. Confession is a step on the path to forsaking. The goal is not just to get right. The goal is to stay right. The goal isn't just to get over sin one time. The goal is to stay away from sin. The goal is to get to where God wants us to be so we're farther away from where we shouldn't be. Most people I have found only want relief from the consequences of their actions, not the cause of their actions. Someone comes in and says, you know, I have a problem here. Usually when they're dealing with the problem, they want you to deal with the consequences. Here's what's going on in my life as a result of what I'm doing. Can we get help from these consequences? If all you try to do is wipe away the consequences and you don't deal with the root, then all that's going to happen is they're going to come back. That's why weed whackers aren't very good. Now, they get rid of the stuff at the top, right? But you got to get out there next week with the weed whacker and do it again. It'd be better to rip those things out by the root and then they don't grow back. I'm having a struggle in my life and I'm so tired of what's going on, the constant fighting, the constant this, the constant that. We can deal with that. But if you don't get to the root cause, the sin that's causing it, it's just going to happen over and over and over again. That's what obedience does. Leads us to step four, separate. He says in verse 10, also 11, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. That was the problem. That was the sin they were dealing with. And so what he's telling them is, not only do you need all this stuff, you need to get away from that. Separate. Get rid of it. Think about when people get caught in something, what causes you to get there? What is causing you to do that? It's like saying, you know, I want to give up alcohol. Then don't hang out at the bar. Don't hang out with those who are drinking or you're going to go right back to it. You know, when we were kids and we always got in trouble, I know several times my mom said, now if she would have known that I was the source of the trouble, she wouldn't have said this. You always get in trouble when you're with that kid. You can't hang around with him anymore. Fact of the matter is, he was a bad kid. But you know what? I was just as bad. Why? So if you're not around him, you won't be in trouble. We need to get away from these things that will hurt us. The things that take us. If you want to stay right, don't be in the places or in the areas or with those that tend to lead to that which is wrong. You ever hear on the news, if you like sports especially, like, oh, some athlete got in trouble at a nightclub or this or that or the other, and he did something against the law. I'm always waiting for the next, yes, he was out at 2:30 in the morning. Nothing good happens at 2:30 in the morning. That's a good time to snore. Okay, listen, if you're out at the wrong time in the wrong place with the wrong people, you're probably going to do the wrong thing. So you look at what is part of the things that when I'm there or I'm involved with that caused me to maybe do this. Let's work on those things. Let's separate from those things. Now, when we separate from the things that or whatever that would maybe push us towards sin, we're not just getting away. We ought to separate towards the places that will help keep us from sin. It's replacement. Church, you know, very few people get in trouble at church. Some can. Very few. Time with God will be a really good thing to help you. Why don't you separate to that? We're almost done with this year. But you know what? When we're done with this year, we're not done with the Bible. Explore the book. You need to have a relationship with the Bible. If you don't have a relationship with the Bible, you're going to struggle. Fulfilling your responsibilities is a good place to start. By the way, some of you singles, we're not getting on, but you need to grow up. Life isn't a party. Okay? Life is about, now have a good time. I'm not against having a good time or any of that. You know what I'm saying. But your whole life is just this, that. Look, we have responsibilities fulfilled. Okay, fulfill. There's too many adults that want to act like too many married guys, you want to act single. Let's just fulfill our responsibilities and do what we're supposed to be doing. Having good friends. Step five, we need to commit. Verse 12, then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. You know what they did? They listened to this plan. They listened to what Ezra said. They said, we're in. We are 100% committed to this. People don't like commitments nowadays. Commitment is saying, I am going to follow this course of action. I'm signing my name on the dot on the line. I'm going to do it. It's not something, well, you know, this is what we should do. Well, you know, I'll try. Try doesn't work. There has to be a commitment level. I have found most people don't like to commit. They'll say, I'm going to try to do it, but I just don't want to make that commitment. What? You know what that is? That's a backdoor for stepping out if it doesn't work. There has to be a commitment. I'm going to follow this step of action. I'm going to do the things I am supposed to do. Commitment. And then I want you to notice the last step, step six, progress. Let me give a couple minutes and we'll be done. Verse 13, but the people are, so they say, yes, we're going to do it. And then they say something interesting. But the people are many and it is a time of much rain. Someone say it was around November, December, the time this was happening. It was their rainy season. And then there was a lot of people that were involved with this transgression. And they were going to have to make some major changes. And we are not able to stand without. Neither is this a work of one day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing. You know what they said? We're committed to it, and we're going to do it, but it's going to be a process. It's going to take a little bit of time. See, one of the reasons sometimes we get frustrated is we're involved with something, we're trying to get it right, and we go forward, and maybe we stumble a little bit backward, or like, I quit. Listen, look, I'll talk to people, you know, maybe it's in a marriage, they have a marriage problem, and it's like, there's something they're working on, and I'm like, listen, you might have a good week, and this week was much better than last week, and then, right towards the end of the week, something blows up, and you're like, see, it's the same old thing again. And I'm like, you need to stop and look back and say, but look at how much progress we've made. Because usually one little miss up, and you know what we do? We're right back to where we were before. And we don't realize you're already down the road. Pick up yourself and just keep going. Don't give up. As long as you're making progress, you're going to be okay, and you're going to get there. But don't give up if you have a little bit of a stumble, because the end is worth it. You want to be close to God? You want to get rid of these things in your life that are just strangling you spiritually? Just follow the plan. Make progress, and you can get there. Let's all stand together this morning.